It's February 29th, and we got some confirmation. We're going to start right out with the confirmation of Michael Garrity. But first, Representative Lynn is with us, Representative Max Greenberg, Representative Lance Pruitt, and myself, Wes Keller, and the chair, vice chair, will be coming a little later. He has a meeting upstairs. Forgive us the evening in front of you. Our schedule has been hectic, jumping around today, so please bear with us.
I think, Mr. Chair, it's appropriate that I'm eating red meat. And I'm saying that to all the people here. Just be aware.
Is there anything that our nominee might be able to do? Some legal issue about our not having enough lunch at the proper time? That's a question we
should
ask.
It's an Eighth Amendment violation of the Constitution.
So if you would, sir, put your name on the record. He was appointed earlier, this month yet, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and welcome. And introduce yourself and tell us why you want to do this job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Garrity, members of the committee. I had the privilege and honor of being asked by the governor in January to serve in this position, to serve the great state of Alaska and the people of Alaska. After some reflection, and not much, I accepted. It is an honor and a privilege. It's an honor and privilege to represent the Department of Law. I look forward to working with this committee on the many challenges that face the state. I'm here to answer the committee's questions today, and please feel free to have your lunch during the process, because I know it's difficult to squeeze time in your busy schedule, so please do. I guess before I turn to questions, for some people who don't know more about me, I know some background material has been distributed that speaks more to my professional career. On a personal level, I was born and raised in Fairbanks. My father was born and raised in Fairbanks in 1917 and was a contractor and a land developer up there for his whole life. I spent my formative years working construction for his company, operating equipment. I graduated from law school in 1978, practiced for about 3 years in Fairbanks with Murdy's, what was then called Murdy's Scheibel Stanley Delisio. My partner, Grace Scheibel, received the privilege of serving as Attorney General many years ago as well herself, and I'm pleased to follow in her footsteps. I'm blessed with a wonderful marriage to my wife, Michelle. We've been married for 24 years, I believe, this year. Have five kids. My oldest is 27, lives in Minneapolis, is recently married. I have a 22-year-old who's graduating, Mickey, who's graduating from Boston University in May. My oldest son's name is Colin. And my daughter, Devin, is a freshman at Oregon State University. Our 20-year-old Kiefer lives at home with us in Anchorage. And my youngest son, Jack, is 12 and his father's last best hope for the National Hockey League. So, as I said, it's a privilege to appear before the committee today. I'm going to answer any questions you might have, and again, I look forward to working with this committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions from the committee? Representative Greenberg.
On behalf of my side of the aisle, speaking personally, I don't speak for anybody else but me. Look forward to working with you. Congratulations. Look forward to your confirmation.
Thank you, Representative Greenberg.
So, we've been I'm not going to call it a small law firm, but a comfortably sized one compared to the Department of Law. What challenges do you see going to this very large, I'm not going to call it a law firm?
Well, it's similar in many respects. It's we have almost approaching 300 attorneys, but to my good fortune, it's an excellent department. It's an excellent, well-running department, well-managed department. My transition has been seamless. Everybody's been very supportive. I've got excellent deputies, and the quality of attorneys that represent the state is really exemplary. So my challenges are to continue with what we've been doing, promote our core services, which is providing the best possible advice we can to the governor and the other agencies within the executive branch, protecting the people of Alaska through law enforcement, help promoting the growth of our natural resources, promoting our fiscal integrity. Those, I think, are our core services, and I think my job is to continue what we've been doing in that vein. But I want to emphasize we have an excellent department. This is there's nothing broken in it. I am going to, as anybody else would, you know, we come in with a fresh perspective and a fresh set of eyes and re-examine, you know, some things we do. If I see something that I think we could do differently or better or more efficiently, I'm going to volunteer those sentiments we'll find out if they have merit or not. But you know, I won't accept the status quo simply for purposes of the status quo. But by the same token, you know, it's well functioning now, and I'm going to continue in that same vein.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you for coming in. I enjoyed it when you came into my office and we discussed various issues. What guidelines will you be looking at when you contemplate joining with other states of the Union for litigation? I know we have some been joined already on some cases. You might review a couple of those, and then what guidelines as future issues come before the country?
Well, we are asked to join lawsuits from time to time, and we first start with evaluation of the merits of the case, our own independent evaluation of the merits of the case, simply because another state is deemed fit to bring a lawsuit challenging a rule or some practice. That doesn't mean that we're just going to jump on the bandwagon. So everything's got to be independently evaluated in terms of the merits. Then we look at, you know, what our specific interests are as a state in terms of the issue that's being disputed. We confer with the governor's office and find out what their thoughts are, and then we make a considered decision as to whether we're going to join it or not. So really, it's hard to draw hard and fast rules. It depends on the merits, and there can be issues that are important to some states that simply aren't. We just don't have a dog in that fight, if I could say that. So it's, you know, we just don't make knee-jerk decisions. It's something we look at, and every single time we're asked to join them, and we give careful consideration.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Soderberg is online, and he would like to comment. But before we get to him, I see you were appointed Attorney of the Year 2012 Construction Law.
You know, I'm not sure how those are handed out. I did receive that distinction. I'll just tell you, I didn't buy 200 plaques or anything like that to receive the honor. So I did receive it. You know, I think to some extent, Mr. Chairman, it's a reflection of how long I've been around. I will say in 2007, I received the Professionalism Award by the Alaska Bar Association, which I've always been very humbled by that honor. I mean, that one I take very seriously, and it's a distinction that has meant a lot to me. But some of these others, I think, may be just a reflection of longevity and how long I've been around. But I appreciate your recognition.
Mr. Soderberg, did you have any comment or a question?
Yes. I'd like, first of all, to congratulate Mike on his acceptance appointment as the Attorney General. I think he's going to be an excellent choice, and he certainly is well-known and well-respected from his time in Fairbanks as well as statewide, and I can't think that you could have done better. I think that's an excellent choice. The one question, or I guess concern, that I would like the committee to discuss with hopefully the new Attorney General will be, I've been handling a case called State of Alaska, or pardon me, Jim Wild. Mr. Wild was an individual on the Yukon River who was stopped by the National Park Service. And back during October of 2010, during the election, Attorney General then Dan Sullivan and Governor Parnell made a public announcement how the State of Alaska was filing an amici brief and was going to take on the jurisdictional aspects of the Yukon River as it was being handled by the National Park Service under ANILCA. The state filed a very competent brief. I was very pleased with it. We were kind of surprised because we didn't know what was going to be happening until I got a phone call saying, listen to the news, you'll find something interesting. That said, Mr. Wild filed a Me Too brief moving for dismissal of the case. Federal government opposed that in December, and in January we replied, and then in January the judge ruled that ANILCA basically had not exempted the federal government from enforcing the jurisdictional issues on the Yukon River. Mr. Webb went to trial and lost that case. Three counts of the case were lost. One was prevailed upon. And we appealed the issues regarding jurisdictional rulings of the federal magistrate judge with appeal briefs are going to be due here in about a month and a half. Unfortunately, after the election, Mr. Burns, John Burns informed me that the state of Alaska was no longer going to be participating in the Wild case. They had voted in on the John Sturgeon case, which we fully support, but we were very disappointed to hear that the state of Alaska was not going to be filing a MEC support in the Wild case. And I would hope that the current Attorney General would reconsider that position because we're all in the same boat here, so to speak. And the state's support on Wild, which is probably a year ahead of the Sturgeon case on resolution, with almost all the same issues, and in clear standing because of this criminal case, is going to mean a lot to the people of Alaska. So I would hope that the Attorney General reconsider that position and take a very serious look at voting in on the Wild within an EC brief.
Bill, if you would, before the Attorney General responds, state your name. It's just for the record to make sure that we record accurately who's making the statements, and I failed to ask you to do that. So state your name for the record, please, and who you represent.
Yep, Mr. Chair, particularly if he's here on behalf of a client.
I'm not here on behalf of a client. I'm here on behalf of the citizens of Alaska. My name is Bill Satterberg, S-A-T-T-E-R-B-E-R-G. I do apologize. I was not aware of that requirement.
Yeah, that was my slip, not yours. Thank you, Bill. Attorney General?
Well, I've known Bill Satterberg for many years. He's an outstanding lawyer in Fairbanks. I appreciate his comments, introductory comments. As I was just responding to the representative, you know, we have to make considered decisions and evaluate the merits of these cases when they go forward. In the case of Mr. Wild, and I think as Mr. Satterberg points out, it was a decision made by my predecessor, but to be perfectly honest and candid with the committee, I mean, I don't disagree with the decision that was made, but in the case of Mr. Wild, there was some, you know, the attorneys probably understand what we're talking about. Is it a clean case or is it not a clean case for presenting your case on appeal? In the case of Mr. Wild, there were some disputed issues. I'm not going to say who was right or wrong or who provoked who or so on or who had a right to be provoked and so on. I just think there were some disputed issues in that case which clouded to some extent the ANILCA issues, the issues that were of concern to the state. So we did weigh in the underlying case, which in and of itself was kind of an extraordinary move because it was a criminal matter, but we did support it. At this point, as Mr. Satterberg mentioned, there is another case that does pose these issues in a way that's very clean and precise and is not clouded by any extraneous matters. And again, I'm not taking sides or casting aspersions or anything like that on Mr. Wilder's case or what happened. I don't, frankly, don't know what happened, but I know it was disputed. So in our considered judgment was to go ahead and join the Sturgeon case, which we have done. And I wish Mr. Satterberg the best. I think he's an outstanding attorney, and if anybody can get this turned around for his client, I have every confidence in Bill. But I have to respectfully disagree with him on this particular issue, but it was not a decision that was made lightly or cavalierly. It was something that was carefully considered, and that's how we came down with it.
Kind of record. Thank you again for Bill for calling in. I have one more question, and then we'll see if the committee has any more. But in a legal sense, the big view looking forward, what do you see the biggest challenge ahead for you in the state in legal?
Well, it's difficult to single one out. I would say we've got We've got some significant cases going on with oil and gas litigation, which we'll get into the details of, but those are very important cases, a lot of money at stake. Natural resource development, we've got on a variety of fronts, whether it's Tongass, endangered species, and so on. The most recent one is this legacy well issue that's been raised up in the MPRA. So there's a variety of issues. It's hard for me to prioritize them, Mr. Chairman. They're going to all get serious attention and as much attention as they need for us to pursue them. I'll assure the committee of that. But federal encroachment, obviously, is connected in many respects to the natural resources development issue, and I take seriously the oath that I'm hope to take one day, if confirmed, which is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the Alaska, which includes Article 8, and my obligation, along with everybody else, is to try to maximize the use and access to our natural resources. So that's what's going to drive us as we go forward.
Thank you. I'm going to ask a question. Other people do ask general remedies. In our state, we don't have an elected attorney general. We have an appointed attorney general, which I support. I do not support amending the Constitution with one proviso.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I didn't want to be chomping into the mic. With one proviso, and that is that we receive both an ethically proper and a policy proper response from the nominee on how they view their role vis-a-vis the governor on the one hand and the public interest on the other. How do you intend to resolve that potential dilemma?
Well, my obligation is to uphold the laws of Alaska and the Constitution. So I'm also the chief legal advisor to the governor and the other executive agencies. And I'm not sure it's a potential issue because I think it's very hypothetical that the agencies or the governor would not listen and follow advice I gave them and the legalities of measures that they were considering. But my obligation is to the office of the governor, and it's currently occupied by Governor Parnell, who's been elected by all the people of the state of Alaska. And as long as his views comport with the laws, and I have every confidence they will, it won't be an issue. But governors will come and go, and attorney generals will come and go, and the institutions remain. And so the integrity of the institutions, the independence of my office is critical to a proper functioning governance. So if I answered your question, Representative Grunberg, the office of the governor is who I serve, and it's occupied right now by Governor Parnell. And so these are hypothetical issues, but you're entitled to an answer. But as I said, it's not to an individual. The individual is not my client. The office is, and right now it's occupied by an individual who I respect, and I have no qualms about his ethics or his intentions for the state of Alaska. So, as I said, it's a hypothetical, but I hope that answers.
May I follow up, please? Do you mind if I dialogue for a minute?
go ahead.
Thank you. And this won't be long. And, of course, he's a member of the bar also and a very fine attorney, and I know he recognizes these issues that we've talked about and are talking about. I am not so interested in an answer as I'm interested in the process. Specifically, I think it's important that a person in your position recognize if there is a conflict. I want the person to be ethically and then policy-wise sensitive and avoid even the appearance of an impropriety
And I frankly support your outlook from what you've said, Mr. Attorney General, that your client is, in the very deepest sense, the people of this state, people who are too large to be organized and very dependent upon your protecting them. And if there comes a point, and there may very well be, even in the most ethical of situations, where the governor should have independent counsel, that you would remember your role, and like with any client, where there's a potential conflict, avoid even the appearance of an impropriety and suggest maybe he get a different attorney or whatever. And I don't care your answer as much as the fact that you're sensitive to the issue and that you, like judicial officers and all your people, avoid even the appearance of an impropriety. And that, folks, is a term of art, even the appearance of an impropriety. And through the chair, your response?
Thank you. I fully agree with your observation. I am very sensitive to those issues. I served on the Bar Ethics Committee for 12 years. Mm-hmm. I have always taken my ethical responsibilities very seriously, as do my integrity and my independence. So your point's taken, and I accept the admonition and will be alert to that.
And secondly, if I may.
No, if it's okay, our job is to review your qualifications. If it has to do with that, I will let you proceed. But we enjoy, and we're kind of clumsy at it, and I don't mean to at all be disrespectful to you, Representative Grunberg, but we're kind of clumsy at it. But we try to get a dialogue going, and so if it's in the context of reviewing credentials, then please proceed. Otherwise, all of us would love to chat, but...
I do consider this within the context of this. These are not just chat questions. Yeah. My second question is your view on whom you represent, if there are issues on the one hand, the executive, on the other hand, the legislature, in issues, and this happens quite often, when we are faced with a legal issue and it's one interpretation that is the legislative, where the legislature is coming from, the other where the executive branch is coming from. And I have sometimes found that opinions from the Attorney General are less based upon the law than the executive branch as their client. And I don't mean this is any respect, but you can see this is very important. And I don't remember having asked this before, but I guess I'm getting curmudgeonly, whatever the word is. And I would like to know how you would come down on that.
Well, sometimes there's more than one legal answer. I mean, it depends in the context of a policy difference between the executive and the legislature. I mean, as long as both policy options are legal, then I'm not sure I would get involved beyond that, frankly. If there was, and the legislature often retains its own counsel or has its own counsel available to advise it on the policy options it wishes to pursue and whether they're legal or not. And again, my advice is to, my job is to give advice to the governor on those matters as well. So simply because there's a difference in conclusions as to what the law would suggest is the answer, that doesn't mean that necessarily one is either one is wrong. I mean, there are unsettled questions of law, which people can simply make their best estimate of how the courts might come down and how the appellate courts might deal with it. So I'm going to try to play it straight up. There's a legal analysis. The political analysis I'll leave to others who are more qualified than I, and the policy analysis I'll leave to others who are more qualified than I. I'm going to try to restrict myself to the legal analysis, but that's not to say that two sets of lawyers will always arrive at the same conclusion.
Understood. If I may, one more.
Yeah.
It has been relatively rare, particularly in recent years. just because the issue hasn't come up very much, but it could, and when it does come up. That for the legislature, whether it's this committee, and it often is this committee, but not always, has a legal question, and it may involve litigation, either ongoing or potential, that if the briefing is not done or the documents are not disclosed in confidence, could harm the state's position legally. That the Attorney General, or your staff, the Department of Law, not hesitate to say, we'd like to provide this, but it should be confidential. And that will enable us to do our job. We're facing a bill on the floor today where this is an issue. And I'm sort of pontificating for a moment with the chair's permission, but maybe even without. that for us to do our job.
Be careful. I've got a hammer here. No, I'm not kidding.
And you know what it is?
My problem is, if I could interrupt just for a little
sure.
bit, my problem is I'd love to get into the dialogue. You know, I'm squirming because I want to say things too. So the problem is we have several people waiting, so please keep it short. Yeah.
That I just want to know that if you feel that the legislature, even if the legislature hasn't requested it, but it's something we ought to know, and it's something that should be confidential, that you not hesitate to contact the chair of the committee or the speaker or presiding officer, whoever it is, and say this is something we should discuss, but it's got to be in confidence. Because sometimes we won't know that, but it's something we should know. Your response?
Well, I hesitate to answer that in the abstract.
No,
Representative, because I'm trying to get my arms around what the issue is. I mean,
it's just a process.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would be reluctant, as I know you would, to do anything that might waive any attorney-client privilege. And so I think, as a general matter, we'd want to do that very seldom, if at all. But certainly, I think if members need to be briefed on something, ongoing litigation or something, that would certainly be something that I would consider, provided that we understand it's confidential and the member appreciates the sensitivity and so on and so forth. I'm sure they would, but I'd certainly consider it on a case-by-case basis, if that answers your question.
It does, and we can sign the documents.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. is there anything you'd like to add, Attorney General?
As to my confirmation in general? Or?
You know, anything you'd like to add to the...
Well, I appreciate the questions and the insights, and I look forward to working with the committee, and again, it's a privilege and honor to accept this position, and I hope I'm confirmed, but if the questions weren't posed today and I can respond to members individually prior to confirmation on issues that are of concern to them, by all means, I'd invite them to do that. Otherwise, there's nothing else.
Our job here is to decide whether or not to pass your name forward. And a yes vote here means really nothing as far as approval or disapproval. So the decision is pretty simple for us. But
I hope I'd at least have five votes that I can start vote counting. But no, I understand that, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. And I'm by confirmation of the joint session. So thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in, and we will probably take action on the whole group after we're done.
But you don't want us to do one at a time? However you want to do it?
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
I don't anticipate any problems, but now that you brought it up, I guess we better do it one at a time.
You have separate documents.
Can I have a motion, Representative Pruitt?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we forward Acting Attorney General Garrity's name to the full body. Obviously, the signature does not mean that we will vote yes or no.
Right.
So, thank you.
Again, I don't see any objections, so thank you.
Thank you.
We want to move right along here. I know that Dr. Regina Chenault has been waiting in online, and she had some other obligations. And then I see we have Ken Kreitzer in the room, and we'll try to move to you next, Ken. But not right now, but in a minute here. Dr. Chenault, if you're there, would you talk to us about the Violent Crimes Compensation Board? If you would, identify yourself and tell us why you're interested in this board.
Yes, sir. My name is Regina I'm Sutton Chenault. I'm a medical doctor and a trauma surgeon in Anchorage, and I've been on the board for so long I can't remember. Governor Murkowski originally appointed me, and I've been reappointed several times. I think the Mount Crimes Board served the Alaskans in a way, in a time of need that no other board can possibly reach out to help these people. I'm honored to be on the board. It is a lot of work. It is a very emotional, these cases and what we read and what we review and what we see, but I'm honored to continue my service at the pleasure of the governor as he's reappointed me.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board or from the committee? I'm thinking a little bit. Go ahead, Representative
Dr. Chenault, I just wanted to once again thank you for being willing to serve on this the Violent Crimes Compensation Board. I know it's a board that presents very heart-wrenching factual scenarios, and you don't get thanked often enough, but your board is extremely important, and I think everybody in Alaska, I hesitate to say that, I think Alaskans appreciate your work and those of the other members, and I'd just like to thank you personally.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
Representative Holmes?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to thank Dr. Chenault. I know that, following up on Representative Grunberg's comments, I know that she works really hard and is very dedicated to this board, and I just want to thank her for her service and thank her for being willing to sign up for another term.
Thank you very much.
I see no other questions, but I want to chime in. Thank you for your service to our state. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Thank you
all around.
Yeah. Everybody here, thank you for your service.
No, sir. I have nothing to add. Just, again, I'm honored to serve the state.
Thank you for calling in, and I think you heard the comments before that we're just passing your name forward to the full body. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we forward Dr. Garrity's name, or Dr. Chenault, to the full body for consideration.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no objection, we'll, if it's okay, we'll do the paperwork and we'll just keep right on going. Next, we have the Judicial Council. We have do we have two or three on that?
Just one.
Ken, you come forward.
We have judicial conduct as well, right?
Okay. If you would, identify yourself for the record and tell us why you want this job.
Well, I'm Ken Kreiser. I live here in Juneau, and I was appointed to the council effective August 1st by Governor Parnell. And the enormity of this council and its effects and its and who it nominates, it had a real pull to on me to be a part of it, because I just could see the importance, you know, down the line. And was really looking for public service. As you know, we served on CACFA together, and after I served my 3 years, I was still looking for something. And when I got involved with this, it's been very engaging and very interesting, and I've enjoyed it. And I'm really honored to have been a part of it. It's been great.
Great. Any questions? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, having heard from the Chief Justice earlier today, a more full description of the number of hours and the number of days taken, thank you for your willingness to serve. It's a huge, huge undertaking, and you mentioned you've been on since August 1st, so you've already been in the trenches for, what, 6-7 months on doing this?
Yes, at least 6 different judicial positions. The last one were 3 in Anchorage with 22 applicants applying for 3 Superior Court judgeships, and that was somewhat grueling, but it was fun, and we did nominate 13 people to go before the governor.
Yeah, and now, Mr. Chairman, if I may continue, you're looking at Supreme Court justices, and it's just going to keep going, isn't it?
Yeah, they're very busy right now. I keep getting told that there's more and more popping up and more that are retiring, and so I'm going to be very busy. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this, because I did retire. I'm working part-time now, so I have the energy and the enthusiasm to go for it. As a matter of fact, I had to take off work
there you
to come
go.
Here today. So I am in uniform, but I'm not armed.
And just a couple more, Mr. Chairman. It's the one page that we have about you. It's, you know, very interesting background and all, but was in relationship to asking to be put on the Commercial Fisheries Limited Entry Commission. So I was just curious if you could talk to us a little bit about what it was that caught your interest about serving on the Judicial Council and how that came. Did you ask to be put on it? Were you recruited? Were you asked to serve? Or did you ask? How did that come about?
I applied because I heard there was an opening.
Okay.
And so I went to the webpage and I looked at that. And one of the things that convinced me is that the public member is not allowed to be an attorney. So I thought, well, I'm qualified. That was, so when I looked at that and I started thinking about the implications, and it wasn't until I actually was appointed that I really see the ramifications of how important this is. And to as I looked at the system, I really thought, wow, this is a great system. Mm-hmm. And at the time they implemented it, I think we were only two, and now there's 33 states that follow it.
And Mr. Chairman,
one more.
And those are good answers. And that's just, since we haven't met before, I just wanted to get a little more of your thoughts on that. And then one thing I'm going to do on my little soapbox, since we've got you here. You know, obviously, you know how important it is. I love to hear you talk about what a great system we have. I think we've got one of the best systems anywhere in the country for picking a judiciary, ending up with an independent judiciary. I think the council's been doing a good job in recent years of sending highly qualified applicants forward. One thing that I have mentioned to the governor in his selection process, and I'm going to mention to you, is something I'm sure you're very aware of, which is the fact that at the moment there are no women on the trial court bench in Anchorage. I know that you forwarded several names for these three openings, and I thank you for taking that into consideration. Obviously, I would never ask anybody to put forward somebody who was not highly qualified just because of their gender, ethnicity, background. But I know that you are aware of that. I know that you've sent names forward for the district court bench. The Judicial Council has. When the Supreme Court comes up, I also encourage you to think about the fact that the woman that we just lost from the Supreme Court was only the second woman ever on the Supreme Court. So just while I've got you here, captive audience, I'm just putting in a plug to consider gender balance as you go forward.
I sure will.
Thank you.
Okay, what we have Acting Chair Thompson back, and I'm going to pass him the gavel. I know there's a couple in the room that want to testify on your appointment, and so if you know, if see, oh, there is other questions, so we'll just pass the gavel here and let you.
He threatened to hit me with it.
Might be a legal case, sure.
Okay.
Other questions from the committee, Representative Greenberg.
Thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Kreitzer, I really have two. I didn't see what badge you have. Are you a correctional officer? What are you?
No, it's a court service officer, and we work with the United States Marshals. I'm over at the federal building.
Are you a marshal?
No, I'm a court service officer. It's a private company that works with U.S. Marshals. There's not one here in Juneau, but we maintain the office, and we provide the security for the courts, the judges, and everyone.
But I think it used to be the marshals, the deputies themselves that did it, didn't it? Or maybe I'm wrong.
It's going back a ways.
Oh, it's going back a ways.
But
okay.
I know for the last 10 years it's been private, a company that works with the U.S. Marshals.
And my second question was, a few years ago, the Judicial Council found itself in the center of a controversy. They sent several names up to a former governor, and none of those names met his desire for that appointment to a trial court. And as a result, as I recall, that governor refused to appoint any people on the list. And at first, the Judicial Council found itself unwilling to, just send anybody else because they didn't like the persons that were up. And ultimately, it came down, and later came down, to a fight we had on the Judiciary Finance Subcommittee, where there was an attempt to defund the Judicial Council. It was very serious. There is an old case from early statehood which simply says that there must be one more nominee than there are available positions. For example, let's say in Anchorage there are two available Superior Court positions. It is sufficient constitutionally for the Judicial Council to send up simply three names. There doesn't have to be two names for each position. And I'd have to look up the case, but that is the law as far as I know. My question is, what is your view of the, if you've given it any thought, and if you haven't, you can simply say, I haven't thought about it, and then you can just do some thinking about it. I don't need an answer. What is your view if a governor, during your term of office, refuses to accept any of the names who have been set up by the Judicial Council? This really becomes a constitutional problem because you're a constitutional entity and so is she or he. Your response?
I have not thought of it.
You might give that some thought.
Definitely will, and I will probably start asking the Chief Justice on the Council how they feel about it.
Sure.
And ask the other members because that's a great question. And I didn't... I read the transcripts of how they were trying to figure out Jim Clark was addressing the board, and I read through that, and I thought the council's answers to him were great, but I never thought about what we do as a council, and so it would be a good question to spin around to the members of the council.
Yeah, I think for what it's worth, Mr. Chair, that the Judicial Council is a completely autonomous constitutional entity, and I would hope that you and the other members stand up for your constitutional rights and responsibilities. It's part of the balance of powers in this state, and I can think of very few entities that have a more serious and important constitutional responsibility. I don't need an answer, and I'm glad you are thinking about it, and I'm glad you are before us. Let me ask you just one more question.
Go right ahead, Representative Greenberg.
Is there anything in your own personal or political philosophy that would influence you in the type of person you would support for any level of the judiciary or oppose for any level of the judiciary? Political philosophy or anything else that would influence you that may not be directly related to the law or something? I'll just leave it generally.
We do keep it, the interviews are strictly on the merit and also on the character of the applicant. My points of view, my beliefs, they're not talked about. They don't even enter in. I wouldn't know what other people's points of view on different subjects are because we keep it close to merit. Now, sometimes when it comes to character, we do ask some pointed questions, and our concern is always would that appointee, that attorney or magistrate or whoever we're interviewing, would they be loyal to the rule of law? Is what we're really looking for. And so if they had a bias that we were aware of, we might ask them some pointed questions about how they feel, how they see themselves as a judge.
Thank you. I feel very comfortable with your answer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further questions from committee for Mr. Kreitzer? I think we have some online. Are they here? Here in the audience, we have a couple of people that would like to make comments. Thank you for your testimony and your information, so we'll bring some other people up.
Thank you for standing.
We have Terry Carnes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh. Oh, you weren't wanting to testify. And Susie Dozik?
The same.
The same? Just okay. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else in the room or online that would like to make comments on the appointment of Mr. Kreitzer? We have two?
No.
Oh, no. They're
no, we're just looking for comments. All right. Well, seeing none, then we'll move on to the rest of the agenda.
You want a motion?
Agenda.
We've been taking motion on each person.
On each one? Okay, go right ahead, Representative Grunberg.
I move that we forward the name of Kenneth Kreitzer to the full body for confirmation on the Judicial Council. And once again, signing the report, which we're going to do, I guess, all at once, does not signify how anybody's going to vote on the floor.
Any objection? Hearing none, then so approved. And we'll move on now to, it looks like the next one you have to do is a Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. Is that right?
No, let's go ahead.
No, I think there's...
Okay.
Robert Shelvin is waiting on the council.
Yeah, judicial conduct.
Judicial conduct. The Commission on Judicial Conduct, Robert Sheldon.
He's online.
And Robert is online. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am.
If you place your name and your affiliations on a record, we'll... have your testimony and would listen to your explanations and what you have been doing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you noted, my name is Robert Sheldon. I've been on the Commission on Judicial Conduct since 2008, and my name has been put forward for reappointment. It is an honor that my name would be placed forward. Of course, the Commission addresses questions of improper courtroom behavior, legal influence, impropriety off the bench, and those sorts of things. When I first went on the Commission, I had quite a bit of a different background. I'm, of course, a public member, and my expertise is primarily in finance and economics. This has quite broadened my way of thinking about the world, because this is where for the state of Alaska, where, as they say, the rubber meets the road. I'm delighted to say the vast majority of the items that come before us are completely either non-jurisdictional or without merit. The few items that have come before us, though, the a group of attorneys, judges, and public members, it's been a refreshing experience to see all of us work together to see what might come of that. I would be delighted if you put my name forward for to the broader body. I think that this is a crucial area of the state functioning, and in the future, I look forward to serving if I'm asked.
Thank you. Questions from committee members. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Sheldon, it appears that you're well qualified. My question doesn't go to you personally, but to the regulatory framework under which the Commission on Judicial Conduct, which is another constitutional commission, independent, operates. And you determine whether judicial officers have or have not violated the Code of Judicial Conduct. And I'm wondering, do you see any areas in that code that either the court system or the legislature indirectly, because the court system regulates the judges, I believe. I don't know if you have direct authority over that. But anything in the Code on Judicial Conduct that could possibly bear some improvement?
The codes, as well as the canons that govern a lot of what we do, are fairly well set. Every 2 years, the commission sends its commissioners out for training in this area. And while there is wide berth nationally in the 40-odd states that have a commission either similar or exactly like ours in Alaska, I'm of the opinion that what has been set down is better left alone. A unless there is something completely obvious that comes to fore, which is to say, at this point, I'm unaware of anything that it would be that drastic to where we'd need to adjust items. I do know that staff, our executive director, who is very excellent, by the way, and I believe she's just finished her 25th year with us. From now, every now and again, there are some minor adjustments that are suggested that we do discuss, but there's nothing glaringly obvious that I would say that for lack of a better term, that we're missing out on in reference to other commissions in the rest of the United States.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further questions of Mr. Sheldon? Hearing none. Is there anybody in the room or online that would like to ask questions or make a comment about Mr. Sheldon? Back to the committee. No final comments. Representative Grunberg.
I'll move we forward the name of Robert D. Sheldon for reappointment to the Commission on Judicial Conduct to the full joint legislative session for confirmation. And again, signing the report will not indicate how any member will vote on the floor.
Well, with no objections from the committee, then we will move on to the very last one, which is the last two people, but they're the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. I know that we have Mr. Skip Cook online. Chief Justice Warren Carpinetti has reappointed two members of the Ethics Committee, both of whom are online. Yep, we have them both now. They are Dennis Cook and Herman Walker, Jr. Mr. Cook, would you please get online and give us your name for the record and tell us about your public service.
Yes, I'm Dennis Cook from Fairbanks. I go by Skip. I've been reappointed to the nominated for reappointment to the Legislative Ethics Committee. I've served on the committee since 1998, and it's been challenging but wonderful experience to work with those who have been on the committee and our staff. So I'm certainly willing to be reappointed for another 2-year term. I've lived in Fairbanks all my life. I am a partner in the law firm of Cook, Schumann and Gross Close, which means I've at times been law partners with such people as Grace Shadow and Mike Garrity, who you had before. But I did notice one error on my filing, my disclosure, which was accidental, and that says I have no dependent children and no non-dependent children. Actually, I have 7 non-dependent children, all of whom are adults. But we are committed Fairbanksans and Alaskans, and I've enjoyed my work with the committee. It's certainly at times challenging and difficult, but I'm certainly willing to serve again.
All right, questions from the committee. Representative Keller.
I just want to say thank you for your service. Glad you're going to bring your experience forward, and I hope you didn't mean it is challenging because of who you're dealing with. But thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Further questions from committee members? Seeing none, is there anybody else in the room or online that would like to make any statements about Mr. Cook's appointment? Seeing none, thank you very much, Mr. Cook. We'll move on to the next person on the committee appointments.
You want a motion on Mr. Cook?
Pardon? We have two on this committee.
But I think we've been
Can't we do them together?
I think we've been doing them individually.
Okay, go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to be kind of consistent.
Yeah.
And by the way, I should reveal that I served on this committee with Mr. Cook and Mr. Walker, so I know them both personally, just for the record. I, at this time, move that we forward the name of Dennis E. Skip Cook for reappointment to the Commission on Legislative Ethics with the report, and that would go to the full joint session, and again the signing of the report would not signify how any member will vote.
Any objection? Seeing none, We'll move to the next one for the Legislative Ethics Committee would be Herman Walker. Mr. Walker, you're on the phone. Please place yourself on the record, and we'll hear your testimony.
Thank you. This is Herman Walker. I've been on the committee since 2002, and I've been nominated by the Supreme Court Justice to hopefully be reconfirmed once again. I am enjoying my service to the state through this committee. I would echo what Skip has said, but I would also add, not only has it been a change in the time, but it's also been very exciting, and it's never boring. Issues are always different. I think I bring a perspective, a historical perspective. I haven't been on as long as some of my other colleagues, but I have been on since 2002, and so I think that historical knowledge, I think, benefits the state and benefits the committee. I look forward if my nomination has been confirmed to further do service for the state on this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. Any questions, Representative Holmes?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and just taking my turn at bat here to say thank you. I, like Representative Grunberg, I've served with both Herman and Skip on briefly on the Ethics Committee, and they've both been very, very diligent. I want to thank both of them for their service and thank them for signing up for one more round.
Representative Grunberg.
One thing I hadn't noticed about Mr. Cook that I think is exemplary but would be little noted except those of us who've been involved, I see Mr. Cook is a vigil honor in the Order of the Hour of Boy Scouts, and that ain't easy to get, having been just what I think is the lowest I called an ordeal, and as I recall it was. I think that's what I was.
Thank you, Representative. Any further questions from committee members? Is anybody else in the room or online that would like to testify on the appointment of Mr. Walker? Hearing none. Mr. Grunberg?
At this time, I would move the movement of the report of Herman Gene Walker, Jr. to the joint legislative session for ratification, and ask that that document be circulated, and that individual members be allowed to sign it, and that would not show how we're going to vote on this nomination on the floor.
Is there any objection? If not, then we will be forwarding his name on to the full body of joint session. And thank you, Mr. Walker and Mr. Cook, for being online with us today. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's no further business for our committee today. In accordance with AS 24.60.130, the Judiciary Committee, having reviewed the qualifications of these people, we will now forward them on to the Joint Legislature for final confirmation. And it is now 2:08 p.m., and I adjourn today's meeting of the House Judiciary Committee.